And you're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. A week ago today, Mount Everest suffered its deadliest day in recorded history. A group of Sherpa were working to prepare a route through the notoriously dangerous Khambu Icefall when a large serac, or overhang, broke free, sending enormous chunks of ice tumbling towards these people. 25 men were injured, 16 died.
Five of the dead were part of a team led by Lakpa Rita Sherpa. Lakpa is a senior guide who works for the Seattle-based company Alpine Ascents International. He's been leading trips up Mount Everest for 20 years. He summited Everest himself 17 times.
He joined us this morning from Everest Base Camp on a little bit of a scratchy telephone line. I asked him where he was when the avalanche hit last week.
I was in a base camp, and my friend heard the avalanche. And he woke me up, and we talked to our Sherpas by radio, and one of my Sherpas mentions on the radio that he thinks five or six of my Sherpa are buried underneath the avalanche. After I got a radio contact with him, I tried to contact with other Sherpas who are past the avalanche, the accident site, and I told everyone to drop their load. And if they have a shovel, grab the shovel and search for the people who are buried underneath. After we retrieved the body, flew that body to Namche, and I handed their dead body to their families, and all of the families were very sad, and they were crying, and I mean, at the same time, I cannot stop crying. And after that accident, the Sherpa community who are here in Everest Base Camp, they come together and they decided to not climb anymore to respect those who are lost on the mountain.
That's Lakpa Rita Sherpa, a senior guide on Everest. He lost five men in last Friday's avalanche. Lakpa lives in America up in Shoreline with his wife and three kids. He expects to come home in a few weeks.
Many of the hundreds of Sherpa who work on Everest, including many of the 16 who died in last Friday's avalanche, come from towns in the foothills around the mountain. The Everest industry is their primary employer, and it is a lucrative job. Climbing Sherpa earn up to $5,000 per job, which takes about 10 weeks. The average Nepali earns about $700 a year.
It's a lucrative job by Nepali standards, but since the avalanche, many Sherpa have begun to question how they are compensated for the risks that they're taking. Most Sherpa have decided to walk off the mountain, partly out of grief and partly in protest. They have a list of demands from the Nepali government, including a higher insurance payout to the families of the dead.
It remains to be seen how many concessions the Sherpa will see from the government, but some climbers think the mountaineering community also has a responsibility to support the Sherpa financially. David Morton is one of those people. He's a climber and Everest guide who has summited Everest six times. He spoke to me this morning from base camp on Everest. I asked him if Western climbers have any obligation to reduce the risk for Sherpa in the first place.
It's really difficult. I mean, it's almost 50-50, I believe, in terms of foreigners and Sherpa that have died on the mountain, but the foreigners are dying higher, and the Sherpa tend to die lower because they are taking a lot of trips through the icefall, and the icefall is something which you can't really mitigate the risk.
And part of the reason that they're taking so many trips is that they're doing all the prep work for the expeditions, correct?
Yeah, most expeditions on Everest, this is slightly different on other Himalayan peaks, but because of the popularity of Everest and the type of people that come, most people on Everest are using quite a high number of Sherpa to be able to carry all of the supplies that they need up higher into Camps 1, Camps 2, Camps 3, Camps 4.
Are too many people climbing? Would limiting the number severely help protect the Sherpa?
I don't think that would help protect the Sherpa, but I think that it would be a smart thing to do. I think that one thing that's most people that have been involved with the climbing industry over here believe that the resource should be managed in a way where there are limited numbers. You know, that being said, that might not be something necessarily that the Sherpa would be in agreement with because their livelihoods are based on the numbers here, and the more people here, the more jobs there are.
A couple of years ago, you started something called the Juniper Fund with a fellow mountaineer, Melissa Arnott. Can you explain what that fund is?
Yeah, so we both had sort of personal stories that affected us having people we know pass away in the mountains. And we started seeing the issue with the life insurance of the government. It was very low. A Sherpa would receive, as of last season, a Sherpa would receive approximately $5,000 if they were to pass away working in the mountains. That was doubled to this year to what is the equivalent of about $11,000. So we were pushing to have that even doubled from that, so that it would be approximately $22,000, which is the most that the Nepali insurers said that they would insure for. And so that was our big push. At the same time, we raised funds also to contribute to that, because we feel that it should be even higher than the $22,000. And so we also contribute funds that way, and then we also try to educate sort of the consumers and clients of this industry.
I'm speaking with David Morton, a Seattle Mountaineer, the co-founder of Juniper Fund. Can you tell me a little bit more about the personal incident that prompted you to found Juniper Fund?
For me, it was primarily, I had a woman who had worked with me on a bunch of treks in the kitchen, and she, during 2006, she was pregnant with a child, and her husband was working on the mountain, and he died in the ice fall in a very similar accident to the accident this year. So after that, my wife and I volunteered to help out with his education, and so that was the incident for me. And then with Melissa, my climbing partner, she had a similar incident that sort of, you know, caused her to look into the situation more. And I had already sort of figured out more or less what was covered and what was not. And then we both sort of came together and felt that it was something that we could do something about in a more formal way.
Is there anything that you want listeners to know about Everest?
The unique thing about Everest, and I think part of the reason that the people that come back here feel some, I don't know, something pretty compelling about it, is that it's this very human experience. There's a lot of ambition here. There's a lot of ambition on the Westerner side that are coming over here, and that me as a guide, I'm taking people who really want to get to the top. And, you know, there's a lot of different motivations, and you can question a lot of those motivations. You can also question, you know, the ambition of the Sherpa who really want to get ahead in their social structure and make good money. And so, you know, there's a lot of ambition on all sides, and it's sort of human. It's not always explainable. It's messy. And I think that, so you see, you know, tragedy involved with that, but it's really hard to sort of blame either side. I think that we all are involved with a dangerous activity, and nobody's doing it against their will. At the same time, there are certainly things, as this becomes a professional industry, that need to be done to protect the workers in the industry and people that are sacrificing a lot to gain a lot. And so, you know, certainly nobody is unwilling participants, but there can be a lot done to make it a more legitimate professional industry, and to protect people when, you know, they are putting themselves at so much risk.
That's mountaineer and Seattle resident David Morton. He co-founded the Juniper Fund with fellow mountaineer Melissa Arnott. We spoke with David Morton and before him Lakpa Rita Sherpa from Everest Base Camp. They spoke to us by satellite phone. With David Hyde, I'm Marcy Silman, and you're tuned to The Record on KUOW.